hope you enjoy this message from Eastside C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
So we're doing a series called But God. Everybody say, But God. But God. As I said last time, But God appears 45 times in the Bible. It's a game-changing phrase, But God. Also, another phrase, But the Lord, appears 60 times in the Bible. And But God and But the Lord are game-changing phrases because wherever they are inserted into Scripture or into a life or into a situation, whatever happens after that statement is radically different than what it was before. And so we're just having a look at this and looking at But God moments. And we heard some But God moments last week from Paul and Linda Brown, and just what God did in their lives. That was awesome. Did you enjoy that? It was fantastic. So as I said last time, there are some of us here today that should be in jail, that should be on drugs, that should be drunk in an alleyway somewhere, that should be laid up in a hospital bed, that maybe should be 6 feet under, but we're not. We're here in the house of God lifting up the name of Jesus because we had a But God moment and he came into our life, and from then on everything is radically different. So one of my favourite verses, I have so many, it's hard to pick one, but Ephesians chapter 2 says this, But God, everybody say But God. I love this, But God, who is what? Rich in judgment, rich in condemnation, rich in pointing the finger at people. Oh, that must be the NIV version I was reading. But God, who is what? He is rich in mercy. This is our God. He's rich in mercy. He has an overflowing abundance of mercy and grace. Awesome. God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved through, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. He says aliens are far off, alienated, didn't even know what we were doing. God came in the middle of that. Reached out to us. It's awesome. Love this verse. This is, we all know Jeremiah 29:11. It's our go-to verse. You know, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, to bless you for a hope and a future, etc. But I love it in the Message Bible. It's a little bit different. I just want to read that this morning. It's like this. Jeremiah 29:11 in the Message Bible. God speaking, he says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. When you call to me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. God's decree, I'll turn things around for you. Love that. Got a whole message on the God of the turnaround. And when God comes into a situation, a But God moment, he turns everything around. And his promises, I'm going to turn things around for you. Incredible. So the Bible's filled with But God moments. It's filled with turnaround moments all the way through. And a couple of weeks ago, we had Old Testament. His name is Joseph. Incredible story. On a number of levels, the story of Joseph. In the book of Genesis, where Joseph appears, there are 50 chapters. Out of those 50 chapters, and Genesis is the first book of the Bible, it's the book of beginnings, and out of those 50 chapters, 25% or 13 chapters out of 50 are given to the life of Joseph. 13. What makes that such an astounding fact is that God just uses 10 words to describe creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. 10 words. And then he spends another 2 chapters filling in all the details. So 10 words and 2 chapters on the creation of the whole universe, 13 chapters on the life of Joseph. Phenomenal. So there's certainly some things we can get out of this. So it's a rags to riches story. It's the story of the son of an obscure Israeli herdsman who goes from total obscurity to becoming the prime minister of the superpower of the day, Egypt. It's an incredible story. Now, when you read the book of Jonah, it's Joseph. Jake preached about Joseph last Sunday night, brought out some incredible things. One of the things he brought out, that he was a man of total integrity. And when you study these characters in the Bible, you know, you got Moses and Samson and David and all these guys, and even Abraham stumbled at some point, had a bit of a stumble, and which is very, very encouraging for us. But Joseph and Daniel are two in the Bible that did not have a stumble. They kept their integrity all the way through. They're outstanding men. And Joseph is one of these, and that's what Jake brought out. One of the things Joseph had was incredible integrity. So the story begins with Jacob, his father, and Jacob has 12 sons, and these will go on to become the 12 tribes of Israel. So it's the birth of a nation. And so he's got 4 different wives, though. He's got Leah and Rachel, and then he's got another couple of handmaidens, and he's got kids to all of them. Now, that's the way they did it in those days. So you got 12 kids, all different, same father, all different mothers, quite, sibling rivalry and all the stuff going on. You can imagine it. And this is the first, as far as I can see, dysfunctional family in the Bible. They're really dysfunctional. And they're kind of fighting among one another. And then Jacob didn't go and do the parenting course. So he does a silly thing. Is he has a favourite out of all of them, and it's Joseph. Next verse, please. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because of his father, because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. I mean, this is just a recipe for disaster, isn't it? I mean, those of you that are parents, pick a favourite child, buy them something really awesome that none of the other kids have got. What? And so Jacob fail in the parenting course. And so he buys, he makes him this coat of many colours, really beautiful. But his brothers already hate him. And then Joseph has a dream about his future. And, it's really interesting with dreams is that God is still using dreams. Both testimony, dreams and visions are part of our deal with the Holy Spirit. And so God will speak to you through a dream sometimes, usually about your future, your destiny. I've had one or two in my time where I've known it was the Lord talking about the future. And so he has this dream, and in the dream he sees all these, this field, and he sees all these sheaves of wheat or barley, and his one rises up above all the other 12, and they all bow down. And so, see, here's the thing. If you've got a dream in your heart from God, for goodness sake, and it really is bona fide, don't go telling everybody about it. People won't understand that. You'll get self-inflicted persecution. You really will. Tell people that you know have a heart of faith and will know what's going on. But you tell people your dream and, something like, whatever, who do you think you are? God would never use you to do that. We know you. Your family are the worst at this. This is what happened to Jesus. He went to his own hometown and they said, who's this guy? So just be careful who you tell your dream to. But Joseph is a blabbermouth, so he tells them all. And what is the dream implying here? That he is better than them, that he is above them, that he's superior to them, and they're all going to bow down to him. So they already hate him. Now they really hate him. So one day he's going out to meet them in the Judean wilderness, and they see him coming. And you talk about dysfunctional. Now they decide they're going to kill him. Let's kill him. And so They grab him and they throw him in a pit. And but Reuben is a little bit more sensitive than the others, and he says, let's not kill him. It's a bit extreme. So they see this group of Ishmaelite traders going by, and they're up in the Judean wilderness, and they're going down to Egypt. So first case of human trafficking in the Bible, or in anywhere probably. And they sell him into slavery to the Ishmaelite traders. And then they get his beautiful coat, and they put some goat's blood on it, and they take it back to their father, and they say, is this, they know it's coat. They said, is this Joseph's coat? And he says, yes, it is. They said, oh, we found it out in the wilderness. A wild beast has obviously eaten him, and this is all that's left. And so Jacob thinks he's dead, so his heart is broken. And Joseph goes with the Ishmaelites into captivity down to Egypt. Wow. Now he gets sold into slavery in Egypt to a man named Potiphar, who is head high up in the Egyptian army. And he gets sold as a slave there. Look at this verse. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the Egyptian guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Yep. But the Lord was with Joseph. Wow. And he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So even though Joseph has been sold into slavery, he's now finds himself in Egypt in Potiphar's house. The Bible says the Lord was with him, and favor was on him. And so he began to rise, and he began to, and Potiphar sets him over the whole house. He's the chief guy who looks after all of that. I was just telling Jonathan earlier, I went up to India as a missionary, as a young guy, and younger guy. And I thought I was going for my whole life, you know. I sold up everything and went. And so I landed in Chennai, which was then called Madras, in about 11 o'clock at night on a flight from Singapore. I was the only Caucasian on the plane. And we arrived into Chennai at 11 o'clock at night, and I came out into that culture, which I was just a Christchurch boy, came from here, and suddenly into a third world culture like that, which is a little bit different, a little bit overpowering. And the people that were supposed to meet me, now there's no cell phones, there's no nothing. And I hadn't even changed any money into local currency or anything, because these people were supposed to meet me at the airport. But they didn't show up. And so I'm wandering around the airport, and it's pretty confusing, and it's, you know, still 35 degrees at night or whatever, and I'm starting to get a little bit worried. Now, I'm not one given to worry and panic generally, but I started to get a bit fearful. And of course, you know what it's like in some of those, especially in India, you get a million beggars coming up to you asking you for money, and you got 50 taxi drivers going to tell you they're going to take you to the greatest hotel in the world. And I'm thinking, you know, if I get in one of those taxis, I might end up in an alleyway 2 days later with a kidney missing or something. And, you know, it's just like pretty freaky. And so I went back into the airport, and I just got myself into a bathroom, and I just started crying out to God, what the heck's going on? Didn't you send me here? What's going on? And where am I going to stay? What am I going to do? I had no plans, because these people were supposed to take me and set me up, and what am I going to do? And 4 words, I am with you. I am with you. And when that happened, I tell you what, when you can, like Joseph, you can have a dream, you can be going all along in life, and you can find yourself in a really desperate situation, in a difficult situation, and you don't know the answers, but here's something you can know: the prevailing presence of the Lord, that he is with you in that. And if he's with you in that, he's going to bring you up out of it. And suddenly this confidence came into my heart, and I just knew that everything was going to be okay, because he was with me. And through a whole series of events, it did work out that way, not the way that I'd planned, but incredible. So God was with Joseph. God is with us in the difficult times of life. And if we can begin to acknowledge that, You'll find his presence putting confidence and faith on the inside of you. So you're not freaking out and running around like a headless chook, but you're actually, it's okay, God's got this. And it's one thing to say that when everything's going wonderfully, but to find yourself in a pressure situation is the test to see, am I going to really believe it or am I just going to talk about it? And so, but God, you got to know, God is with you. He is with you. And God was with Joseph, and he was successful, and favor was on him, and he began to rise in the master's house. And so, okay, he's been sold into slavery in Egypt, but now, oh, things are starting to take a turn for the better. There's a bit of glimmer of hope. It may not be all that bad. But Potiphar's wife is a cougar. And so she makes a play for him, and he rejects her advances. And so she then accuses him of attempting to rape her. And so he gets thrown into prison for this, wrongly accused. Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story, or lies, about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and he threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. But the Lord, everybody say, but the Lord. But the Lord, what a great statement. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love, and the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. So again, here he is, wrongly accused. He's in prison now, but the favor's on him because he's trusting God, because he's believing God, and he begins to rise and be becomes now looking after all the prisoners in the prison. Then the chief baker and the chief butler of Pharaoh, I don't know what they do. Maybe the bread wasn't hot enough, or, you know, the guy didn't bring his wine on time, but they throw the baker and the butler into prison. And they're pretty depressed about this. And then they both in prison have supernatural dreams about their future. And Joseph finds out about this, and Joseph goes to them and says, tell me the dreams. So the baker says his dream, and the butler says his dream. And then Joseph interprets the dreams. And he says to the baker, in 3 days, Pharaoh's going to bring you out of the prison. And the baker gets all excited, and then he says, and then he's going to hang you. But what? I did not want to know that. And then he says to the butler, in 3 days, the Pharaoh is going to release you from prison and you will be restored to your old job. And he's pretty excited about this, but he says to the butler, when you get restored, don't forget me. Don't forget me. Because, you know, so exactly that's what happens. 3 days later, they get released, and here's the story in Genesis. Then he restored the chief cupbearer to his former position so he could again hand Pharaoh his cup. You got a guy that just hands you a cup of tea, you just sit there all day and he just hands you things. Is that a husband, did you say? Oh. Sorry. But Pharaoh impaled the chief baker. It's still a bit different than one. It says he hung him. Just as Joseph had predicted when he interpreted his dream. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, what? Forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. Wow. And here's the lesson here, is that in this life, you know, you may have a dream from God that you're pursuing. You're just like Joseph. You saw something that you thought, wow, I had a promise. I felt like there was something in my future that God had for me to do. I saw it. But now the journey's begun and I'm here and it actually doesn't look like it's going to happen. And it's like I've tried to get this person and this person and this person, and people will forget about you. People will let you down all through this life. It's just the way it is. We've just got to have soft hearts to be able to forgive them, because ultimately part of this test and this trial that Joseph was going, it's a test we have to pass. But this guy forgot all about him. People will forget about you. They will let you down. But God is with him through all of this. And finding that secret place in him where you know he is with me no matter what. He's going to bring me through this. If you look into people, you know, and you can see all the political wranglings and all the things that go on when people try and maneuver in careers or even in church to get a position, to do this, to do that, and you know, try and work the system and the people and the whole thing. It's not about that at all. It's about trusting in him. It's not about people. So, you know, and that's a lesson we have to learn, where we learn to trust only in him. Interesting. So the butler forgets him. So now, 2 years go by. 2 years. Now that's hard. Because I got a dream. I felt like God showed me a vision. I know it come from heaven. He put a promise in my heart about something that was going to happen in my future. And now, it's a long time's happened. In fact, not only that, you know, people have forgotten me. I feel like I'm in prison. I feel like that's never going to happen. It's just the place I'm in right now. And so 2 full years go by. And while I'm here, I'm seeing, like the butler, you know, I'm seeing other people get their dream fulfilled in the middle of it. And I'm thinking, I've been believing so much longer. What's happening? And I see other people getting blessed and other people coming into what favor in God on their life. And here I am. Nothing's happening for me here. I'm in this prison. It looks like nothing's happening. And this is the time where you got to really know, in the middle of all this, God is with me, because it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't look like it. It looks awful, but it's part of the process that you go through to see the vision fulfilled. Incredible. And so, yeah, two years go by, and then Pharaoh himself has a dream. And he has a dream. He's, you know, I won't go into all the deal, but he has a dream. He sees 7 fat cows and 7 skinny cows and all this other paraphernalia. And so he gets all the soothsayers and all the priests of Egypt to come in, and because Pharaoh knows this is a supernatural dream about the future. He knows that much. And he tries to get them all to interpret it, and none of them can figure it out. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, there's a but God moment right here, because the butler who forgot all about him suddenly remembers Joseph. Amazing. And the butler says, when I was in prison, there was a guy there, and he interpreted dreams, and he interpreted my dream, and everything he said came to pass. And Pharaoh said, go get him. And so they bring him to Pharaoh. And he stands there, and Pharaoh tells him the dream. And Joseph says, oh, it's easy. It's the 7 fat cows are 7 fat years. The 7 lean cows are 7 lean years. Egypt is going to have 7 years of plenty, and then they're going to have 7 years of famine. My advice is that in the 7 years of plenty, you build silos and you store up grain so that you will have enough food in the 7 years of famine. And not only that, the famine will affect all the nations. They will all come to you, and you'll make a lot more money selling the grain to them. And this resonates with Pharaoh. He's like, absolutely, that makes sense. And so, next please. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asks his officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the spouses, as intelligent or as wise as you are? You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I sitting on my throne will have a rank higher than yours. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt, the superpower of the day. My goodness. And so what a phenomenal rags to riches story. But before that dream could come to pass, he had to go through some stuff. And it's the way it works. It's the way it is. I wish it wasn't, but we got to know that wherever we are on that line right now, God is with us. and he has a destination. He has an expected end for us. He has a hope. He has a future. It may not look like it right now, but when you understand that Joseph and even Jesus himself and all the people through the Bible, to receive the fulfillment of that, there is a testing, there is a trial time, and you can, if you can see the future and you can see that's what will keep you buoyant moving through it. If you have a vision in front of you, I can see that. I don't. It's not happening right now, but I know God is with me, and I know that this is part of his purpose. And so he sets him over the whole thing, and of course that happens. Eventually the famine hits Israel as well. And what happens? All Joseph's brothers, they don't know he's there. They don't know who he is. They all end up coming to Egypt because of the famine to buy grain. And oh my goodness, who's the flippin' prime minister? It's Joseph. And they are freaking out because they're thinking, oh my gosh, retribution is coming from this guy. He is going to deal to us big time. And so it all ends up coming to pass. They all bow down to him, just like the dream. But the dream was 13 years earlier when he was 17 years old. It's taken a long time for the dream to come to pass. But he stayed faithful through the whole deal. He knows that God is with him. And he knows that, you know, those things that happened, this is what he says, it's really interesting. They are really afraid of him. And this is a million-dollar verse. Look at this. Verse 20 of Genesis chapter 50. He says to his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for my good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. Wow. And so for us, the dream that we have, the fulfillment of the destiny that we have, not only is about us, you know, getting fulfilled in life and doing the thing that we're called to do, but just like Joseph, we will save many people alive. It involves the salvation of a whole lot of people when we come into the fulfillment of that and great influence. Amazing. So I love that. It's taken 13 years for the dream to come to pass. And then there's this really interesting little verse in Psalm 107. It says this, look, it says, verse 17, Psalm 107, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They heard his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Wow, man. And so interesting. All this is a test. It's a trial to build something in him, to build capacity in him, to build character in him, to change him so that God can use him for the dream that he had. And the thing is, when we're in that place, when we're in the jail, when we're in the, you know, like I'm a slave, wasn't I going to do that? Wasn't I going to work for the Lord and do this thing that he put in my heart, the prophecy that I had, the witness of the people around me? They said I was going to do this. I felt that in my heart, but now I'm flipping working at Pack and Save, McDonald's. It doesn't, you know, I feel like, but listen, it's all part of the process. If you can know that the dream that God has, he will bring it to pass. If we'll stay faithful through that period. And I think the Bible says that it's through faith and patience we inherit the promises, we come into our destiny. And I think some people aren't, but we're generally pretty good at the faith part. We can believe that. Wow, yes, I can see that awesome promise in front of me. But the patience part's different. And patience doesn't just mean waiting. You know, just, come on, God. No, patience is remaining consistent through the trials, through the difficulties, through things. And you'll have doubtful days. You'll have days where you wonder whether he even exists. You know, you'll have days where it's hard and it's difficult, and it's all part of the test and part of the trial. Once you begin to understand that, you begin to embrace that and allow God to bring you through into the thing that he has for you. Thing about Joseph, I love it. He kept believing when he was betrayed. He kept believing when he was falsely accused. He kept believing when he was thrown into prison for doing the wrong thing. He kept believing when it didn't seem fair. When you're there and you see other people getting blessed, it just doesn't seem fair. God, you're doing it for them. What's wrong with me? And here's that you start doubting yourself. You're thinking, I did something wrong. I did this. Get rid of all that stupid thinking. It's just part of the trial, part of the test. God will bring it to pass. He always does. He kept trusting God. I've put here when there was no sign of any change, no sign of that happening at all. Wow. And that's the way it is. But he had a but God. He had a but God moment, and it all began to change. He went from the pit to the palace in an instant. And people will often look and they'll say, wow, look what God's doing in your life. Isn't that amazing? But they didn't see all that preparation going on beforehand. And we've got to know our day is coming. Our turn is coming. Seems like everybody else has got their turn. Your turn's coming. Your day is coming. It's going to be fulfilled. But right now, you might be in process. That's part of the process. And you know that God is with you. Same God that was with you with Joseph is with you. Love this in the book of Acts. Stephen, last verse, Ben, would you join me too, please? In the book of Acts, Stephen is giving this great discourse to the Pharisees just before they're going to stone him to death. And he's giving the whole history of Israel. And this is what he says. I love it. He says, these patriarchs, that's the Joseph's brothers, were jealous of their brother Joseph, and they sold him to be a slave in Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him from all his troubles and gave him favor before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And God also gave him unusual wisdom. But God, isn't that amazing? And so God, this process in all of here, but God, but God, but God, he's going to bring us through. He's going to bring us through. It's amazing. God is faithful to bring to pass what is your life, what is concerning you. He is faithful to do that.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.